Welcome to the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. To stay connected, go to revivaltoday.com. And now, here is Evangelist Jonathan.
You know what? I have all week with you, so I was going to preach 3 points, but I'm just going to preach 1 point. Go to Joshua chapter 1. If you didn't close your Bible, you're already there. Joshua, the first chapter, verse 2. Joshua 1, 2. How many of you are glad you came tonight? Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people. Everybody say, my time has come. You know, when COVID hit, I kept waiting for some big pastor to spearhead an effort in Pennsylvania. But they never did. Even in California, mostly it wasn't the big pastors that did. It was like obscure, formerly obscure pastors that led the charge. And I'm sure you guys felt the same way. I'm sure there's some big guy or the head of the Assemblies of God or the head of the Foursquare is going to rise up and with their legal team take care of this. And they never did. Your life will change. I'm not saying this to fill time tonight. Your life will change when you realize that God has you here for such a time as this. You know, most people are backwards looking or forwards looking, but they miss their time now. You know, how many ever heard of Amy Simple McPherson? How many remember when she pastored in LA? They're always talking about what God did in the past. Or how many know God's going to send a revival to California? When's he going to send it? Does the Holy Spirit have a twin brother named Revival that's caged up in heaven that we have to pray down? Do you know when things start moving? Is when you make up your mind, God doesn't have me here for this time by accident. I wasn't supposed to be born in the Wild West. I'm glad I like those movies, but I'm glad I wasn't born back then. I'm glad I was able to fly over the Grand Canyon instead of take a horse around it. We saw it out the window flying here. I mean, how amazing to do a morning service in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and then be here at 7 o'clock, roughly, at 7 o'clock to do a night service. What a time to be alive. Everybody say, what a time to be alive. You know, you think, boy, man, I wish I was alive in the 80s when Ronald Reagan was president and yet America was being called back to God. If you were alive back then, I was alive back then. People weren't at peace. People realized it was a good time after. We were 1 second to midnight on the nuclear clock. Russia was mobilizing nuclear weapons. People were worried left and right. We were just coming out of a recession. They were predicting we were going to go back into the recession. People miss their whole lives thinking they should have been somewhere in the past or go somewhere in the future. Turn to John chapter 11. Maybe I'll preach 2 points. John 11. Praise God. John 11, 17. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went in to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here. If the past would have worked out differently, my brother wouldn't have died. But even now I know the Lord that God will give you whatever you ask. I like that because there was something about Jesus's life and you can replicate this in your life. If you stay charged up in the Holy Ghost, there'll be something about you that when you walk into a room, people might start off talking negative and then they'll change. You know, you know what? Maybe things can turn around. See, there was the gift of faith on Jesus where when he got around, even when people were despondent, something about him made them think things can work out differently now that you're here. Well, now that you have access to that gift of faith, what if we turned out everybody from this room? And when you go to work, anybody watch our service from this morning? There's a lady that I had testify. She's a care provider. Just a regular, you know, I'm not saying this like derogatorily. A regular Christian. I'm saying that because if you think you're like a regular Christian, that's all you have to be. These signs will follow all who believe. Regular Christians. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll lay their hands on the sick and the sick will recover. So she's working as a care physician And the, you know, just going in to do her job. And the guy in the house tells her, I have stage 4 cancer. They just diagnosed me and they told me I'm going to die. And he said, I don't even know Jesus. Or he brings it up to her. You know, starts thinking about eternity. And so she told him about Jesus. 50-some-year-old lady in our church tells him about Jesus and then prays for him. And he gets so, gives his life to the Lord and gets so touched by God that he hugs her. Says, I feel, people feel the burden of sin lift. I'm telling you today, whatever burdens you came in here with, Jesus is a burden bearer. He'll lift the burden off your back and destroy the yoke of bondage when you call on him tonight. So he hugged her and was crying and said, I feel better. I'm saved. He could tell I'm born again. And so the nurse came in after. She's the care provider. Then the nurse came in and he was so happy. He told the nurse, man, that last lady that was in here prayed with me and I feel so much better. He's so happy. But that nurse didn't like Christianity. You know, the Bible, Jesus said this. He said, the sower sows the word. And when the seed of the word comes, the enemy comes at once to take it away. In the parable, it was a bird. The bird comes to eat the seed before it can go. Well, that bird that time was that nurse. So she went and turned that care provider into the company. And she had a meeting on Monday, not with her manager, with all 5 managers and the owner of the company. And they called her on the carpet. This lady is not like me. She's a very nice, very kind, good hygiene, great lady. And she's not the type to mouth off. But a boldness came in her. They said, you're not allowed to tell people your faith. And we're calling this meeting to decide whether to fire you. She said, something came out of my belly. And I said, it's not illegal for me to, when someone asks me a question about my faith, it's not illegal for me to say something about it. And I want to tell you that, since we're in America, they make you sound like you're fine to believe what you want, but don't share your faith. Don't speak about God in the public square. Meanwhile, everybody's allowed to say whatever crazy belief they have without any retribution. Do you know why that is? Because faith has 2 parts to it. If you believe in your heart and speak with your mouth, until faith moves your mouth, it never moves any mountains. So the devil actually doesn't care if you believe in God as long as you'll shut up about it. But I'm telling you, the same fire that came in her is going to come in California this week, and we're going to send out old school fire charged radical Christians that tell the world Jesus saves. Hallelujah. And she told him, it's not wrong for me to do that. And she said, you're welcome to fire me, very kindly but strong. And I know God will give me a better job. And she said, I just want you to know, if I had to do all over again, I would have done everything exactly the same way. And so because, hallelujah, because of that boldness and the anointing, they felt it. And the owner of the company said, you know what? We're not going to fire you. And he said, listening to you talk, I want you to know I'm a believer. And I would have done that too in your situation. And you know what she said? With all due respect, sir, no, you wouldn't have, or you wouldn't have called this meeting. See, when that boldness pours over on you, it's tough to shut it off. You're going to leave here tonight overly bold for the Lord. And they were amazed at their boldness. You're going to put your feet on the ground and take places back for God. I have news for the devil. California doesn't belong to Satan. It belongs to the children of God. Because wherever your foot shall tread, you'll be on land that God's given to you. Come on, one more time. Take 20 good seconds. Put those anointed California hands together. Shout unto God. Say a scripture with me. Say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Man, I feel the anointing on that. Say it again. This is the day. Say, this is California's day. I will rejoice. Something good is going to happen to me. Now lift your hands and begin to thank God out of your mouth. Everything's turning around for your good. You're not going down. You're not going backwards. You're going up. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I don't say this to be unkind, and I probably should find a different way to phrase it. But for now, I don't care how bad a thing you came in here with. By that I mean, not that I don't care about you or that you need to toughen up. I don't mean it like that. I mean, I have no respect for however great the problem is, because I've been watching, particularly for the last 3 years, God do the impossible, left, right, and center. I tell you unequivocally tonight, in Los Angeles, California, there's nothing God, the devil's done to you that God can't do something about it tonight. I see everything turning around for your good. You don't have any trouble. Your faith in God moves every mountain, calms every troubled sea. So rejoice and be glad, for the Lord has given you the victory. The shout of the Lord is in the camp. The praise is coming back to California. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say it one more time. The Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. Let's lift our hands and rejoice one more time. Come on, thank Him out of your mouth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm alive for such a time as this. Moses, my servant, is dead. You know what God was saying to Joshua? Snap out of it. You've grieved long enough. Moses is dead. It's now your time. And let me tell you, as confident as I seem with my little necktie and stuff, I know what it feels like to think, me? Are you sure, me? I don't think I can do it. God doesn't use people who think, who have confidence in their ability. He uses people who are available and have confidence in His ability. And if you lean the entirety of yourself on God, God will use your life to do remarkable, incredible things. I'm telling you, this is no Christian way to talk. It's all I can do. It actually is more impressive to me every time we go to get on that plane after we're finished preaching to go like fly here. It's all I can do to go, you got to be freaking kidding me. I couldn't afford an SUV to carry my TV equipment a handful of years ago. What happened? I couldn't have paid this room. I couldn't have paid for a room to sleep in this hotel. I stayed in the rooms with the door open to the parking lot where there was like people being killed next door from bad drug deals. What happened? You want to know what happened? You'd be amazed if by faith you'll start putting your feet on the ground. And instead of leaving it, well, I wish things would have worked out differently. Jesus, if you'd only been here a few days ago, my brother could have lived. And then Jesus said, if I'd have finished reading it, John 11, Jesus said, your brother will live again. Yes, Lord, in the resurrection. So the devil always wants you to regret the past or put things forward to heaven. Heaven's real. There's mansions in heaven. There's things too wonderful to talk about in heaven. I like heaven the more I read about it. But until we get to heaven, the promises of God are not just for heaven. Godliness is profitable unto all things, holding value in the life that now is and in the life that is to come. 1 Timothy 4:18. Godliness has profit now. Everybody say, God has something for me now. Turn back to John 11. John 11. Jesus told her, 23, your brother will rise again. Yes, he'll rise when everyone else rises. On the last day, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Anyone who believes in me, though he is dead, yet shall he live. There's a guy that was at our church today. I didn't see him while I was preaching. I told his story and I didn't think he was there. He was a police officer from Camden, New Jersey. When he first came to our church in July, he was in a wheelchair, paralyzed from the neck down. And my Uncle Ted was preaching in July. And when he came in the line, my Uncle Ted stopped the line and said, you're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. Which, you know, you think that's just something the faith preacher's saying so he doesn't have to get him out of the wheelchair that day. But that was the word of the Lord. You're going to get stronger from this day. Everybody say, I'm getting stronger. Faith is a seed. When it goes down on the inside of you, the Bible says, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn on the ear. I completely remember why I came back to California. I remember this feeling being in this room with these people. I'm telling you, God has something great for you, not just this week, tonight. Somebody say, now faith is. Yeah, God has something for you now. It's not then faith was, or one day faith will be. Now faith is. Can't have faith. You know, one time I was walking around in a church outside of Houston, Texas. I asked the pastor if I could come in the afternoon to pray, because we were doing a bunch of crusades, and I was going to run out of money in about 2 months. So I said, Lord, by the end of the year, I was in the sanctuary by myself, Father, by the end of the year, let $1 million come in to meet those crusade needs in Jesus' name. Father, let $1 million come in by the end of the year so we can pay these bills in Jesus' name. And when I went to say it the third time, I felt the Lord speak to me so strongly. You think I need 3 months to meet your request? And then the scripture I'm preaching you to you, he popped up in me. Now faith is. I don't need 3 months. You think people are so convinced of how big their need is and so unconvinced of how big God is. But when you read the Bible, you start having a severe disrespect for the devil. You have a severe disrespect for cancer or stroke or paralysis. And you start being drunk, intoxicated with how powerful and mighty God is. I want to tell you for the second time tonight, no matter how big your problem is, there's nothing the devil's done to you that God can't do something about it tonight if you'll believe. And I know I'm not in a room full of doubters. I'm in a room full of faith-filled, supercharged California Christians, and God's got a miracle with your name on it. If you believe it, can you say amen? You're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. So then his legs started moving. So he called the doctor and said, I can move my leg. The doctor said, that's impossible. He said, I'm telling you, I'm moving my leg. I'm not telling you I believe one day I'll move my leg. I'm telling you, I'm moving my leg right now. And the doctor said, again, that's impossible. He said, I'm gonna have my wife drive me there right now and show you. Because the doctor said, not only will you never regain function of your leg, he said, we have it in a brace to stabilize it where you can't move it. And so his wife drove him in and he showed him, I can straighten it out with the brace on that's meant to keep me from being able to straighten it out. And then the doctors went from saying, that's impossible, to that when he saw it, he went, that's incredible. Now, anything people have told you is impossible. When these meetings conclude, they're going to have to come back and say, that's incredible. What a mighty God you serve. Impossible is going to change to incredible today in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that with me, let your amen be the loudest. Say it so the devil can hear you. I serve a mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then he moved from the wheelchair. I never had a hand in any of this than just watching. He'd come to prayer most every day. Not for prayer, he'd come to pray every day. Then he starts coming in with his wife with a walker. And with a walker, using it where you almost would want to tell him as a faith preacher, maybe you should go back in the chair. It would take him forever to get from the lobby to the seat. But he was going somewhere. See, in his mind, I believe the word that Ted Shuttlesworth gave me. I'm getting stronger, stronger, and stronger. He started to work with his faith. So then I notice him go from barely moving with the walker to moving decently. Then one day, you know, I go away for long periods of time and then come back. So I'm at prayer. Now I see him. He's got one of those walking canes, not the ones where people need a little help. One of the ones that has like the four prongs and it's heavy. And he's using that. And he's getting stronger. Then he got in line 6 weeks ago for our midweek service. And he was standing in line with that cane. And when I laid hands on him, he picked it up and tossed it to me and walked out to the car without the cane. And he's getting stronger, stronger, and stronger. I see you getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And if the devil's done some kind of attack to make you weaker and weaker and weaker, that's the devil. If God said be strong and courageous, then what preacher would tell you how many know God wants us weak and broken? No. He said he wants you strong and courageous. And notice he didn't tell Joshua, hey, what are you writing this down for? This is an agreement between you and me. He had it written in the Word for perpetuity for anybody that wants to lay hold of it. I don't have to be weak. I don't care if I wake up in the morning and look out my window and there's a mushroom cloud out there. I'm going to fulfill the call of God on my life. I'm not going down. I'm going up. This is not the devil's time. This is my time. The devil is the same place today that he was yesterday, and he'll be the same place tomorrow. He's not over my head. He's not eye to eye. The devil is under my feet, and the devil is under your feet. So again, rejoice and be glad, for the Lord has given you the victory. Come on, let that California shout out again. Somebody say, I have the victory. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Anyone who believes in me, anybody that wants to, up to you, will live even after dying, will live even though they're dead. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she said. I've always believed you're the Messiah, the one who came from God. Before Lazarus could get yanked out of that tomb by supernatural power, he had to get his sister to understand that it's not something that should have happened in the past. So don't worry. That's the devil. Boy, I wish I'd have heard something like this 20 years ago. Well, you didn't, but you're hearing it now. Well, I know. No, I believe there's a lot of truth in what you're saying. I believe one day will never come. Then some churches you go to, they'll make it one day in heaven, you'll have your perfect body. One day in heaven, you'll have your eyesight. Jesus never said anything like that. He didn't crouch down by the crippled man and go, hey, buddy, I know you'll never walk here in Israel, but one day you'll walk on streets of gold. Amen. No, people made that stuff up after. He healed the sick. The Bible says multiple times. Hallelujah. They brought unto him all the sick. And no matter what their sickness or what their disease or if they were possessed by evil spirits, one touch from his hand healed how many of them? Has Jesus changed? Is he the same? How do you know? Where does it say it? Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Jesus that healed then heals now. And he does it the same way now that he did back then, on the basis of faith. See, what's interesting to me when I listen to these testimonies from people is I wonder, why didn't you just leave church? Because you could have reacted completely differently. If God's true, you know, I've been going to church, then this happened to me, I'm done. That guy that was in the wheelchair that ended up with walking free, no assistance, he was in church. It wasn't like he was like backslidden and then the wages of sin. So he could have very easily said, I've been serving the Lord for 25 years, and then I get in an accident and have a stroke and lose the ability to walk. I'm done with God. And also, I don't ever want to hear about any of this faith and healing stuff again. But he didn't. In fact, we have a story. One of the most touching testimonies I've heard is from that girl that was here with her mom last time that they brought their brother to get prayed for. You know, the mom's a pastor. How come you want to just say, you know what? Forget this stupid religion. I don't only go to church, I'm a minister, and then my child has an attack. The devil wants you to, well, how did Job get out of his problem? In all of this, Job never said a reviling word against God. He wouldn't say anything against God. He didn't blame God. He kept his faith in God. If the devil can get you to throw this thing out and forget it and cast aside your precious faith, then you have lost the one lifeline you have to get out. So he works hard on it. He'll surround you with cigarette-smoking ants or tias. They say, you're still going to go there after everything that happened to you. Job's wife, except for you, it's Job's aunt. Amen. Job's tia, you're still going to honor God after all that. And the devil tries to get you to quit. That's why there's a verse in the Bible that says, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap a reward if you do not give up and quit. That verse wouldn't be in the Bible if there wasn't a natural tendency in your flesh to give up and quit. But today, what God's going to do in this revival, whatever the devil did to try to suck the life out of you and get you to look at turning back, there's a new life coming into your spirit. I'm not going backwards. I will not give up and quit. He that began a good work in me shall bring it to completion in Jesus' mighty name. Turn to Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Get that video ready of the girl, if you would, that gave the testimony. I'm going to play that in a second. Then I'm going to pray for everybody. Romans 10. Verse 5. The law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commands. But faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart. What does the Bible say? Don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth? Oh, Lord, we ask you to come into this meeting. Don't say, how will we get Christ to come down? We don't have to get him to come down. He already came down. And don't say, who will go to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again? Don't say about going to the place of the dead. Anybody have a King James? New King James? Let me see yours. Romans 10. Say not in thine heart, who will ascend into heaven to bring Christ down? And don't say, who will descend into the deep to bring Christ back to the dead, from the dead? Don't say, who will go up to heaven to bring these things down? How many know one day in heaven? How many know things don't work out here, but one day? Yes, Lord. One day Lazarus will rise on that great day when we'll all rise. Don't say that. That's a antithesis of miracle talk. One day in the future, things will work. I'm going to play this video not just to show you what God did last time. Look at the attitude of the sister and mother. With every reason to be frowny-faced, sad people. You'd have thought they won the lottery the last 5 days in a row. They come there with a son that's battling a tormenting, debilitating problem. And listen to them talk. We are not one day in heaven. No, they said, we came here saying in the car, we believe today God's going to touch our brother. God's going to touch our son. How many people are like that here today? I'm not waiting till I get to heaven. Heaven already came down and brought heaven to earth. I can call on the name of the Lord and be delivered out of all my trouble. Don't say who will go to heaven and bring it down. Say out loud, heaven already came down. Jesus came. One, you don't have to go to heaven to get it. Somebody left heaven to bring heaven to you. What do you have to do to get it? Believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. Believest thou that I can make you to see? Yea, Lord, as your faith is, so be it unto you. Believe it and speak. Why do you think the devil got so stirred up when that lady prayed for that guy that was going to die? Think how ticked off the devil must have been. Had that guy in bondage for 70 years and had him 2 days away from going to hell. And some lady comes in and won't shut up about her faith. Doesn't care about getting fired. And he undid the devil's plan. And it got stirred up like a hornet's nest. But the same power that saved that guy's soul promoted her to an even higher position in the company. If you stand up and won't back down, your faith will open doors for you that no man can shut. The lions can't eat you. The fire can't burn you up because of the power of God that's on the inside of you. Somebody say, today is my day. Has anybody seen that video of that guy Nadir that was on 17 medications at our church? And I asked him, because I want to know. I said, you know, you're sitting there on 17 medications. You've had 7 psychotic breaks where they've had to put you in the mental institution. What made you get better? What did I say that snapped you out of your haze? And he said, without blinking, today is your day. See, that's the message. This is the day. I'm not believing God's gonna do something for California. The same way I put my feet on that Cadillac dealership, I'm putting my feet in Los Angeles, California, and seeing how many Mexicans and white people and Ghanaians and Dominicans and Taiwan and everybody else will stand with me and say, enough is enough. The devil's not gonna write the future of California. Me and Jesus are going to write the future, and it's going to be a glorious future. He that began a good work in me will bring it to completion. Watch this video, and then I'm going to pray for you.
Hi, I'm Mikey Gonzalez. This is my mom, Pastor Anita Gonzalez. And today we just want to come and share a testimony of what the Lord did with my youngest brother. Long story short, he had suffered from epilepsy. He accidentally fell down during a race. He was dehydrated and he hurt his head. And ever since that day, that was in eighth grade. And from eighth grade to now, it's been about 10 years, he has slowly lost decline in his nervous central system. He was not able to recollect memory. He was not able to understand speech. He would lose his balance. He had he couldn't control his movements in any way, shape, or form. And the worst part of it all was that he could not sleep. And so I was telling the pastor Jonathan, was that every 10 minutes or so, he would have a seizure or he would twitch. And so even what doctors say, REM sleep is good for you, he could not enjoy, because at every time, at midnight, 3 a.m, at 6 a.m, he would have a major attack. And it was constantly an oppression of the devil upon his life, because he couldn't get out. For as much as we would try to teach him the word of God and Bible verses or pray with him, he wasn't there. So he went from being a presidential honor roll student to like a second grade memory. And so today we came expecting and believing the Lord for a miracle in our younger brother, believing the Lord that he was going to do something in his life, because for 10 years, my parents hadn't slept.
Today we came expecting the Lord to do a miracle. Not I believe God can do miracles. Today we came expecting the Lord to do a miracle for our brother today. And that's the common thread. Wherever you go in the world, some people come to attend, some people come to check it out, and some people come, I'm going to get my miracle today. You know, there was an evangelist, keep the screen up, I'm going to go back to the video, but there was an evangelist named R.W. Shambach. And when he would open his services up, the first service of his I was in, I thought it was very weird what he had to say, because evangelists, you know, like to have the crowd say stuff. It's like we're addicted to noise. But they're actually just getting you to use your mouth to say faith things and scripture things. So I would hear evangelists say sometimes, you know, turn and tell your neighbor, tonight's your night. Turn and tell your neighbor you're going to get a miracle tonight. Well, R.W. Shambach would get the mic, and in that high voice, he'd go, turn and tell your neighbor, I'm getting everything for myself tonight. I don't think we're supposed to talk like that. That doesn't sound like very Christ-like. But then the more I think about it, that is it. When you have a mentality, the woman with the issue of blood didn't say, now whether my issue's healed or not, I will just love all this crowd that's touching Jesus to be healed. She pushed through the crowd. That means she pushed other people out of the way. I'm sure you're having a hard life, but right now, I need help. And that kind of faith. Faith doesn't wait for things to happen. Bible faith makes things happen. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. How many of you came today expecting God to turn everything around for you? Well, that's why I play the videos. It's not just that our job as evangelists is not to get you to expect it and get you all riled up. The Bible says thine expectation will not be cut off. What you expect, you experience. What are you expecting? The Bible, when you expect, God honors your expectation. These two, we didn't tell them what to say. That's in this room back in January. We came here, we drove expecting for our brother to be healed. Go ahead.
We haven't slept. We've been standing in faith, believing the Lord, but the manifestation was longing. And so we're like, no, Lord, we're going to give a special offering to the Lord, believing for his miracle. We joined the 21 days of prayer and fasting. That was one of our prayer points. And when we heard Pastor Jonathan was coming here.
I'm catching stuff from this testimony that never stood out to me before. Who's to say that when they said we participated, I didn't hear that part before. We participate in the 21 days of prayer and fasting, believing for our brother to get healed. Why was it on day 18 I said, after this fasting's over, I'm going to L.A. in 9 days? Well, no, when we get to heaven, but I know God well enough to know God would actually move me across the country or anybody to get to somebody. Smith Wigglesworth said, faith in God will cause God to pass over 1 million people just to get to you. I was preaching in prison one time outside of Pittsburgh. And when I finished my sermon, there were 33 violent offenders there. And I said, this just came to my spirit. I said, there's a man here. When you were 5 years old, your grandma used to hold you on her lap and put his hand on your head or her hand on your head and say, God's going to use you to preach. God's going to use you to preach. And I got ready to say, who is it? And before I could say, who is it? This guy from the Dominican Republic with 3 teardrop tattoos fell out of his seat onto his knees and started to say, Santo, Santo. Which I don't know if anybody speaks Spanish in LA, but that means holy, holy. He had his hands lifted saying that. I said, well, I guess we know who it is. And I said, stand up on your feet. And I laid my hands on him. And he got filled with the Holy Ghost and gave his life to Jesus Christ along with everybody. That's what broke it loose in the prison. I gave him a bunch of books from Kenneth Hagin. And I said, if you do all these workbooks, when you get out of here, I'll send you to Bible college. And so I started to think after that, that his grandma said, God's going to use you to preach. From the time she said that till I arrived, everything went in the opposite direction of preaching. But I believe, just like with this, I wouldn't be surprised that why did I get an idea out of nowhere that I never planned on going to preach in prison. And I just thought one day, you know what? I'm going to go up to prison. I know the warden and she's given me an open invitation. I'm going to go this week and called and made the arrangement. And then he's there. Perhaps God remembered the life that his grandma spoke over him and said, you're going to have what you said. And I got to be a small part of that. You know, in a meeting like this, you know what I've been praying the last like 6 years that's really helped the meetings and stuff? Lord, every prayer that's been prayed about Los Angeles and about the people that are there, all their grandmas, all their mothers, whatever the pastor said when they were dedicated to the Lord, the prison chaplain, use me as a conduit to bring a fulfillment to those prayers this week in Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you, just like with them, just like with that guy in prison in Pennsylvania, there's people sitting here right now that things have been spoken over you, and from the time someone believed or you believed, everything's gone in the opposite direction. But guess what? You're not sitting here dead. You're alive. And your story's not finished. The devil might have written the first part of your life, but you and Jesus are going to write the closeout, and it's going to be a glorious closeout in Jesus' mighty name. If you receive that, clap your hands one more time. Go ahead. Finish.
We're like, no, we're going to believe the Lord that today the oppression
today
ends. And so when Pastor Jonathan came to California, Los Angeles, California, it was literally an answer to prayer. He called each and every one of us out, but specifically the word of the knowledge that the Lord gave him for my younger brother was spot on. I told my parents, it hit the nail on the coffin. It was so accurate. Sure enough, he said that the Lord was going to restore his speech. The Lord was going to restore movement in his body. Everything that the enemy had stolen from him, this was the year of double. And so when he prayed for him, I was sharing with the brothers and sisters that he was, when Pastor Jonathan went to go lay hands on him, he's standing by himself. Unconsciously, he would like fall backwards. But that moment when Pastor was praying, he was standing by himself. He responded. Pastor Jonathan said, can I pray for you? And he himself said, yes. And so when the Lord touched him, I was amazed because we went home that night rejoicing and praising the Lord. And I want to share this video with you guys. He slept 30 seconds without a single seizure. And then the 30 seconds went to a minute, and then 2 minutes, and then 5 minutes. And the next thing you know, he's sleeping. And you can see this spirit of peace upon his life. He's able to sleep. And so we're really excited to see what the Lord's going to do with him, how the Lord is going to be able to restore completely from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, body, his function, control, his memory, his intellect, everything is coming back. Hallelujah. And so we just want to give all the praise and the glory and the honor to God, because if he could sleep through the night, what is the Lord going to do from now until the rest of the time that the Lord comes? We're going to see that miracle. We're going to see the intelligence come back. We're just going to continue praising God because we know this is the beginning of a great miracle in progress.
See, go ahead, give the Lord Jesus a great hand clap. We serve a miracle working God. Miracle working God. El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. That lady expected it today, and then she didn't say, well,
we've seen some things, but there's still a long way to go.
I'm believing that he's going to get everything back. See, If everybody was like that lady, we'd have been raptured like 20 years ago. There wouldn't be anything left to do. But people lack faith. And when you meet them, there's a reason why. People have been through very hard things. And the devil uses that to pummel their insides and beat them up. But you know, what do we call these meetings? Revival Los Angeles. You can't revive something that hasn't been vived at least once. So people have been made alive unto God. But as life goes on, if they don't guard what's been entrusted to them, life has a way of knocking your spirit around and taking the joy of your salvation out. But then God sends a ministry gift, the evangelist. The Bible says when Philip finished preaching, there was great joy, not in the meeting, in the city. That when God's done, there can be such a residual effect of joy. Like you, those two, you watch them smiling. I mean, and talking like that. That's the joy of the Lord. The devil goes after that because the joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. If you read Joel chapter 1, they don't have the ability to put scriptures up, do they? Here? That's fine. Joel 1, just take my word for it, but I could show you, but I'm not going to take like a piece of poster board and write it out. Joel chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. The Bible says, your harvest has languished. The apple trees failed. All of the trees have failed. Nothing's producing fruit because joy has withered away from the hearts of men. And so that's what the enemy tried to do. Very hard. 2020, 2021, 2022. Those were not joyful times to live in California as a born-again Christian. You had to do everything in your power to maintain your joy. The devil tries to take your joy because if he can take your joy, he can take your strength. But I have good news for you today. Joy is coming back into your spirit because nothing brings joy like a turnaround, like a miracle, like a devil getting kicked in the head and God reminding him, you don't have permission to determine my people's future. Jesus kicked your tail 2,000 years ago on the cross, and I'm going to pick my people up out of the pit and set their feet on the rock to stay. I'll tell you one final time tonight. Get ready for the work of the enemy in your family, in your business, in your ministry. It's going down tonight, and the blessing of God is going to pour like a mighty river over you. The devil doesn't have permission to determine your destiny. The work of the Lord shall prevail in Jesus' name. If you believe that with me, jump up on your feet. And as you do, give the Lord the biggest hand clap and shout. Let him hear you in California. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns forever and ever and ever. I see everything turning around for your good. Everything turning around for your good. Somebody shout a loud hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here, all of this begins with being born again. Jesus said so. Ye must be born again. It's not a good idea. It's a must. And I'm going to tell you, if there was not that there was ever a bad night to get saved, but with the exact nations of Ezekiel 38 getting ready to launch an attack on Israel and the red heifers that haven't been born in 2,000 years already shipped from Texas to Israel to be sacrificed to build the third temple, this would not be the greatest night to roll the dice with your eternity. Israel's planning on launching a counterstrike right now. This thing's coming to an end. People say, preachers ask me, you think Jesus is coming soon? I believe Jesus is coming so soon, I don't even buy green bananas anymore. If we get to finish this meeting out this week, I'll be happy. Jesus is coming soon. Before he comes, I wanted to make one run out to one of the greatest cities in the world with the greatest people in the world and find anybody that's been discouraged and broken. You know, not everybody that's had something like that happen to their son has the reaction of that woman and the sister. Some people, the devil has his exact accomplished goal. I'm done with church. Now, I still believe in that stuff, but I have a little bit of an issue with God. I don't understand why certain things haven't happened. If that's you tonight, And the enemy hits you with an attack. And you're realizing now as I preach, the purpose of the attack was to steal your joy and put distance in between you and God. And you also realize that the reason you came here tonight was so you could hear the word of faith one more time and say, no, don't let the devil have the last laugh. God will allow you to have the last laugh. You'll laugh in his stupid, ugly face in Jesus' name. But you have to make up your mind. God, I brought up Shambach, might as well steal one of his other lines. Jesus will either be everything or he'll be nothing at all. You can't sort of serve him. You can't serve him a little. He wants to be everything. That's what the word Lord means. Jesus is Lord. He's my everything. I am his servant. He is my master. I'll go where he wants me to go. I'll do what he wants me to do. I'll say what he wants me to say. He's everything. There's nobody close. I told my wife that on our first date. We stayed out till almost 5 a.m. at a Dunkin' Donuts talking, and she shifted the conversation to marriage, not me. And I told her, I said, you should know, if you're going to come with me, I have a prior agreement that Jesus and his call on my life is first. And she said, that's fine with me. And she kept her word. And God's kept his word. And it's been a wonderful life. But it'd be a lot more wonderful if when I get to heaven, your mansion is somewhere in the area near mine. There shouldn't be anybody from L.A. that's in hell. From the mayor to the representatives to the garbage men, everybody, to the drug dealers, to the people from the DEA that make sure the drugs get to L.A., everybody needs Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And everybody should be saved. Jesus died for everybody. There was a lady on Twitter this week. She ticked me off. She's a conservative lady, and she said, if anybody has ever done sex work, prostitution, they can pray all they want. She was writing it to a lady that said she got saved. She said, you can pray all you want. You'll never be acceptable to God. Well, if that's true, then we'll all hit split hell wide open because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the blood of Jesus forgives all sin. There's nothing you've done that's too great for the blood of Jesus. The only thing that's left to be decided is will you lay down your pride and come to Jesus Christ? We gave the altar call this morning for people to get saved. I think 4 people came up at first, and then more, because people wrestle with their pride. What if someone sees me? Who cares? I've gone to church my whole life. I've never one time driven home in the car and heard people go, you see that lady in the blue shirt that came to the altar? I can't believe she was there to get saved. No one cares. People are on to the next thing, going to get food. No one's going to think about you after tonight. They're thinking about In-N-Out even right now. Why would you make decisions about your life based on what people in this room that you don't even know think about you? Making decisions based on what people think is what got you in the mess in the first place. But if you're going to serve the Lord, there has to come a time like tonight where you say, enough is enough. I have made up my mind. I'm going to serve Jesus Christ with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength. If you're here tonight and you've never done that, or you once did it and fell away, and you say, Jonathan, I know I came here. The enemy has worked a number on me, but I'm not letting him cut, I'm not going to allow him to let me devolve into the abyss. I'm stepping out of that thing. I'm telling the devil enough's enough. And I'm joining the nail-scarred hand of Jesus to live for God like I know I should. If you're here and you know you need to do that, I want you to put your hand up high and we're going to pray together right now in Jesus' name. I see your hand. Who else? Tonight's, I see you. Back corner. Back. Who else? I see you. Who else? I know there's more. I want to give my life to Jesus tonight, holding nothing back. That's awesome. Now, Sister Clarita is going to sing this song, I Give My Life Away, to give you time to come to the front. And then I'm going to pray with you. And then we're going to pray for everybody here that wants hands laid on them. We're going to treat this opening night of the meeting like it's the last night of the meeting. Just have a straight up blowout. Can you say amen? Everyone that lifted a hand, I want you to come to the altar right now. Go ahead, Sister Clarita. Lift your hands and can sing it if you know.
To you I belong.
Awesome.
I give myself.
Who else before we pray? All of you that came forward, lift both hands to the Lord as a sign of surrender. I'm going to give you the words to pray, but this is not like a recital to join the Masonic Lodge or a club. This is a prayer, but some people haven't prayed, so you give them what to say. But a real God is going to hear these words that come out of your mouth, and he's going to reach down and do on the inside of you, even as this is happening. Say this out loud. Heavenly Father, I give you my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me in your blood. I believe in my heart you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord and my Savior. Right now, I receive forgiveness by the blood of Jesus. I am saved. I am forgiven. I am clean. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for sharing the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. If you're interested in supporting our mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, please visit revivaltoday.com and click on Give Now to become one of our monthly partners. Thank you in advance. We hope to see you soon.